Hello, everyone. This is the Laughing Buddha, and you are listening to the latest edition of the Scooter Diaries. I can't believe it's been almost over a week since my last show. And man, time just seems to be flying by. So thanks for tuning in. Let's see, what did I want to talk about this week? I think I mentioned in a couple shows back about a major sporting event that was happening in town, and that was the sponsored Red Bull crashed ice sort of thing that was going on. And then I also mentioned an upcoming festival called the St. Paul Winter Carnival. And guess what? That is happening this weekend. It actually started yesterday and runs through, I believe, next weekend. I think it lasts through February 3rd or 4th, something like that. It's a little over a week-long celebration of winter, and actually it has been around for an incredibly long time. As a matter of fact, it goes way back to 1886, and it's amazing. And the reason why the St. Paul Winter Carnival started was kind of some baiting by a New York newspaper, as a matter of fact, who had said that basically St. Paul, Minnesota was another Siberia unfit for human habitation in the winter. And frankly, having spent now 45 years in St. Paul, I can sometimes agree with that that newspaper in New York. So here is kind of the history of it. In 1886, St. Paul was America's fastest growing city. I guess you didn't know that. And it was growing from 39,000 residents in 1880 to 120,000 residents in 1886. And St. Paul had also become America's third largest rail center. And to celebrate their city's success, St. Paul business leaders produced the inaugural St. Paul Winter Carnival, which was held during the first 2 weeks of February in 1886. In addition to showcasing St. Paul, the business leaders wanted to disprove a New York newspaper reporter who had described their beloved city as I said, another Siberia unfit for human habitation in the winter. And in this festival was patterned after Montreal's Winter Carnival, and the first St. Paul Winter Carnival included parades, skiing, snowshoeing, a blanket tossing contest, and pushball, a game played with giant balls. No comment on giant balls or Big Fatty. The most successful attractions were its ice castle and six large toboggan slides. And throughout its 125-year history, the St. Paul Winter Carnival has been an integral part of social fabric of St. Paul, and the carnival reaches out to the people of Greater St. Paul to weave a tapestry of cultures with educational and cultural programming. Now, the attendance of the St. Paul Winter Carnival attracts about 350,000 crazy visitors a year. The word crazy is my own editorial comment. And the economic impact has been estimated between $3.5 to $5 million in the city of St. Paul. So that's happening this weekend. And actually, the legend of the St. Paul Winter Carnival, it's really elaborate. And I remember as a kid growing up, there was a lot of time and energy and resources. Back in the 1980s, I remember this very clearly. There was sort of a commemorative anniversary ice palace that was built out of blocks of ice. It took weeks for a construction company to build this structure that was at Phelan Lake, which is a lake that's in St. Paul. And I remember it was very elaborate. It was like something like, I want to say 10 stories tall, made out of ice. It took up probably, I want to say, at least an acre of space. And it was lit by a bunch of colored lights. And I was way deep into photography that year. I think I was still in high school at the time. And I was shooting some film with my Pentax K1000 film camera. And it was just an amazing architectural feat. Way, way back in the past, they used to build these ice palaces, and people would actually be able to walk through them and walk upon the ramparts. And it was like a little palace. And of course, by the time the 80s rolled around, people really just couldn't do that anymore. And there wasn't any ability to walk through these mammoth things of ice. But I recall there was some night photography that I was trying to do. And it was bitterly cold. And there were literally hundreds of people out at night in the dark of the St. Paul Winter Carnival, photographing this amazing piece of ice sculpture, really. And then afterwards, after the festival, even though they didn't want to secure the site for 24/7 until it melted, they actually took a wrecking ball and knocked it to the ground. So that's how crazy things get with the St. Paul Winter Carnival. Now, there are all kinds of events that are happening in town this weekend, including a cat show, an art show. And one of the events that's kind of got me interested in actually attending, I haven't really attended any of the Winter Carnival events in many years, is they do a beer tasting. This is their third year, I think, I want to say, of this beer tasting, where you get a pass and you can taste all of these micro-brewed beers, local and regional. I decided I'm not going to do that. And the story behind this is, you know, they created this mythology about the King of Winter, King Boreas, and his entourage. There's a whole royal court that is involved. Boreas Rex is the King of Winter, and he has his Queen of the Snows, and there is a North Wind Prince and Princess, an East Wind Prince and Princess, a West Wind Prince and Princess, and a South Wind Prince and Princess. There's a Prime Minister. And then there's Klondike Kate, and then there's a guard captain, a guard sergeant, and a whole guard entourage. And the royal court goes out and does some rather interesting civic appearances. They also do some charitable fundraising. The King of Winter, King Boreas, is overthrown eventually by Vulcanus Rex. And Vulcanus Rex has an entourage, and these are, I want to say probably 40s, 50s, 60s year old prominent business owners and Chamber of Commerce people in St. Paul. And the Vulcans are the ones that come and overthrow Winter and celebrate the return and our journey towards spring. Now, Vulcanus Rex, and he has his own court. He has Baron Hot Sparkus, Count of Ashes, Count Embrius, the Grand Duke Fertilius, a General Flamerus, Duke of Clinker, and Prince of Soot. I will leave you to make up your own double entendres for that particular court there. So that's what's happening this weekend. I plan on lying low. I was traveling last week. I visited some friends in Isle, Minnesota, and it was great just to have a weekend where I didn't have any expectations or any place to be. So we had a really nice visit. So this weekend, there are some things that I need to prepare for. Work is going to get very busy in the next couple of weeks. We have our next member drive for our public radio station, Minnesota Public Radio, and I will be working quite a bit on that. So that's about it for this week. I want to tell you about an upcoming show that I'd like to do. The next time I'm going to talk more about a Guthrie Theater production of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof that I saw recently that I rather enjoyed, but I want to put some thoughts down to share with you about that particular production. And then hopefully, I've been having some computer problems, and hopefully you'll be able to hear this program later this weekend. Or, you know, I'll just have to re-record it, and the AudioBoo application will do that. And, well, you'll not know about my little computer problems. I have a netbook that I produce this podcast on that is giving me some trouble. It is refusing to boot, and I'm not exactly sure why, but I have a friend of mine who is going to check into that. So that's it for this week. I want to thank you for listening. If you have any comments or questions, I'd love to hear from you. You can reach me at thescooterdiaries@gmail.com, or you can post on my website, which is laughingbuddha.blogspot.com. So once again, thanks for listening, and until next time, take care.